Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey, guys!
Yes, Sal.
Is it the last day?
The final.
Ooh. Final day. I knew you were going to do that, Adam.
I know. It's my favorite.
What's it the final day for? Doug told me.
The heat is on.
Doug's like, hey, Sal, you can do a final day.
And it's
like,
okay. On the streets.
Mm. Yeah, it's the last day for
heat
Matt.
Is.
You guys with me?
You went too long.
Sorry.
Beverly Hills Cop?
Maybe.
Whoa, whoa,
oh. Oh man!
Sorry, let's get this.
All right, yes, Maps yeah. Anywhere.
Oh,
known as Maps White.
It's the final day for the sale.
Yeah, it's the final day for the sale. $77. It's going up to $97 tomorrow.
Don't forget, Maps Anywhere is the Maps program, expertly programmed for at-home workouts. That means you don't need a gym. You don't need gym
you
access.
You can just bust it out.
It's not only for white people, too.
No, it's not. Yeah. You work out at home.
The Jon Snow
and,
of programs.
It's an at-home program that will actually provide excellent gains, muscle gains, fat loss, similar to what you'd get in a gym.
Yeah.
But you're at
yeah.
home.
And you get a t-shirt.
That's right. Snap. When the sale's over, you don't get a t-shirt. But you right now, you do.
And one more thing.
Yes.
Through today, you will get 50% off of all our guides.
So if you enroll in Maps Anywhere for the sale price of $77.
Wow.
You also qualify for half off all of our guides.
All of our guides.
So the nutrition the nutrition survival guide, fasting guide, occlusion guide.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Where do they find this, Doug?
Mindpumpmedia.com.
Mindpumpmedia.com.
Get it. It's the final day.
And I have something else here, guys.
Whoa, we're not done.
We're not done. We have 16 reviews this week.
Oh, we're on the way up again.
On the way back up.
Yes.
You know why?
Justin.
Summoning,
yes.
Justin.
La, la, la. I was doing a seance.
Were you?
Yeah.
Dude, that was a creepy voice you did.
I know. I had to go with it.
So I'm going to give out four shirts this week. Metalhead for Life 80.
Oh, look them up.
We like
him.
People.
This is Butter 123456789000.
Smooth like butter.
B Hears and J Pell.
There you go.
Yeah, so four shirts going out. Send your name, that's your iTunes name, the one I just read off, to iTunes@mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size, your shipping address.
And a naked pic.
You can leave that behind.
Every time.
I want to say one more thing.
What?
We're going on vacation, guys.
Oh.
We're going to take a little time off. I'm going to let everybody know the show will go on.
We've got episodes, gone.
Yeah. We have replacements.
Yeah, yes. we've
got backup Sal, backup Justin, backup Adam.
We've made robots.
I cloned myself.
Yeah. We're going to be airing our shows in our absence, but this means next week we will not be calling for reviews or announcing reviews. We're still calling for reviews.
We're just going to give out more shirts when we get back.
Yeah, so in 2 weeks, we're going to stockpile everybody's reviews, and we're going to give out double the shirts.
We want like 50 or 60 reviews.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Blanket it.
Do it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Justin, put your fucking earphones on.
Dang. A little testy today.
He is. I feel like, Justin, I need to have a conversation
fire.
With you. I need to have a conversation with you, Justin, about Adam for a second. Is it Adam? Shh. I'm talking to Justin. Justin.
We're having a serious bro.
Justin, you've known Adam longer than I have.
I'm going to mute my headphones.
Okay.
Yes.
You've known him longer than I have. I've only known him for about a year and a half.
Right.
He seems moody today.
He's a little testy.
Does he do this? Does he go moody?
You know, it's in cycles.
It's in cycles?
Yeah. Mm. Usually correlates with, you know, when he gets waxed, I think.
Is that what's going on?
Maybe. I don't know.
Something's going on.
Something's happening.
All right, Adam, you can put your headphones
right,
back
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Earmuffs, no more earmuffs.
We're good.
We're back online.
Fuck you, too.
I just want to let you know something, Adam.
What's that?
Okay.
We love you.
Me and Justin really like you a lot.
Yeah.
And we think that you're a nice guy.
Is this an intervention right now?
And no.
Is this an intervention?
We love it when you're a nice guy.
And we love you more, the most.
When you have nice comments.
When you're not being an asshole.
Right.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. When you're like, positive.
I think one of us has to always kind of be an asshole a little bit. Otherwise, we would be like a bunch of schoolgirls who would get shit done every time. Pillow fights, seen, is that and the same jokes, and
pillow fights. Pillow fights. Oh my god! Yeah. You knocked my shorts off.
Somebody has to.
I've only seen Justin one time be. He wasn't an asshole, but I seen him testy one time.
It's okay. And I was an asshole.
It was that time of the text. Remember where the guy had
I was having a bad day.
Wait, what did he get mad about? I don't remember.
So someone had enrolled in the nutrition survival.
Oh yeah, they insulted him.
And they wanted a refund because they think we're going to make a meal plan for them, which we're not. Yeah. And Justin was so mad. He was so angry, like fuck him.
And, I didn't say that.
No,
I would say about our listeners. How dare you,
no,
sir?
You didn't say that. No. You were just like, gosh,
I was like, golly gee, I am wrong.
You guys seen me, Moody? Not really. I'm usually pretty, I'm the same.
You're just like choppy. Yeah,
what do you mean choppy?
I don't know. You're just like short.
Yeah.
And you're never short.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very long-winded.
Yeah, you're like a nicer, mean version of me, I think. I think we're similar.
Your tone doesn't change, but the way you deliver it does.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. My tone changes, too.
Yeah, it changes. Yeah. I know exactly when Adam's mad.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm going to start rubbing his shoulders.
It's when he's tired. It's when he's tired.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It is.
Are you tired today? Yeah. What time did you wake up this morning?
I slept in this morning.
Yeah, but you were tired though.
I was tired. We did a lot of drugs last week, dude. I'm barely getting over all
this guy.
Just, a lot of drugs. I'm
like, my body is detoxing.
Our first time.
It was like a snowstorm. It was like,
cocaine and heroin.
Enough already.
We need to stop joking like that because I think people. Here's what's gonna happen. I'm just gonna tell you guys, and I'm gonna fucking blame us for this bullshit that we
don't want.
We're going to meet fans somewhere, and they'll be like, hey, let's go hang out. We'll be like, sure.
Here's a kilo.
And they're going to
I
was joking.
They're going to bust out drugs and be like, hey, I got some heroin. We're going to
brought it in from Colombia.
I'm like, no, dude, we're fucking joking
on the
show.
Let's go party.
We don't do a lot of drugs. So did you exercise today?
I didn't. I took the day off the gym today.
See?
I lifted yesterday, though.
So you're tired today. That's what's going on.
I am a little bit tired, but not too bad. I mean, I slept in. I got up. I was good to go. First day back at OTF. I'd been there over a week, so I always like teaching when I haven't been there. I've lost my voice because I haven't been yet. It's crazy how quick that gets adapted, right? I find that fascinating. When I'm teaching every single day consistently,
You don't lose your voice.
Yeah, I don't lose my voice that easily at all. I can handle 4 hours straight of doing it. Well, today I taught 1 hour. After the first hour, I was like, voice was cracking already. So that's just from us being off for the last week when we took off up to Reno. But what I get, especially with business, and I get very, antsy maybe is the word. When
pantsy
I know
in your pantsy,
well, when I know there's a lot of things for us to be accomplishing right now, and it's hard because
we're trying to get the president on Mind Pump. That's what we're trying to do.
No,
just kidding.
No, there's so much. There's so
we're
much
revving in neutral right now.
There's so much that I want to get done, and in all of it's important. And so this is what drives the crazy workaholic in me. And you know, everybody is working their asses off in all different directions. And, you know, sometimes like when we, for example, like we put together like a seminar like we just did recently and, you know, I want it to go awesome. You know, I want it to go really, really well and I want us to be excited about it and I want us to run back another one and keep doing it. And when we don't enjoy it as much because we're so overcritical of ourselves, it's frustrating because I know how important it is. I know how important it is to us to get out and it's kind of, it's almost like charity work because it's not like we're getting paid to do that stuff. We go out there and we do these seminars. And
well,
we
the
help
part
people.
That I enjoy the most is at the end when we meet the people. That's when I really enjoy that. You know, we get to shake hands and hug, people and have people talk about, you know, how they're doing our programs.
Yeah, we're working this out. You know what I mean? Like you said, we need reps and to be completely transparent and everything, like we started this like the same way. And it's just like, we're just starting this other new project, you know, like, and it's going to have to start. So
well,
we're not going to be like, you know, kick ass, you know, right from the get go.
Well, think about it this way. Like when we first started podcasting, we recorded a shit ton of episodes right off the bat. Right. Right off the bat, we were doing. Yeah. We'd meet and we'd record
them all away.
We'd go three episodes and four. Yes,
15 of them.
The first 15 episodes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We never aired because we originally had Craig on here, and then Craig, you know, he came out of the, he dropped out of Mind Pump, so we couldn't air them. But we actually had 15 episodes of practice.
I talked to Craig the other day a little bit.
Did How's you? He done?
He cut his hair.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like short?
Yeah.
He cut it.
Yeah,
yes.
Dude, I was what? I was a little bummed out.
His hair's like, it's like Doug's hair.
Now I feel like such a jerksicle right now. I didn't even see that, dude.
What are you talking about? Me and Justin both commented and tagged you like four times.
Come on, guy.
Yeah, I didn't. You really, you tagged me on Instagram on his page?
I tagged you on Facebook. And then we also texted you.
Holy shit, Craig cut his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was a big deal.
It is. Yeah. He didn't lose his strength, apparently.
No, yes.
I was a little disappointed.
Well, we don't know that for sure yet. I'm really curious to see.
I was hoping for the Samson effect.
I think that's going to happen with him. I'm curious to see if he's as strong.
He's training more functional mobility type stuff, he says.
God, he looks bigger.
I love it.
Yeah.
Less hair. He looks bigger now.
He's a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to grow my hair out. That's what I think I'm going to do. Did I tell you guys I used to have long, like I used to have longer hair?
I could see you. You're very it fits your personality.
Please don't do that,
dude. No, thank you, Justin. Yeah, don't let me do that again. I used to look at pictures back then, and I look like because my hair gets kind of wavy, you know. So I look like I came out of a fucking, you know.
I'm trying to picture that as like Millie Vanilli. Like, what do you
no, like I need a couple chains. Like, hey, it's me. You know, I got the long hair. Hey, come take a ride on my IROC Z.
It's totally creepy.
IROC Z.
You know what I'm saying?
Just gold chained out. And
dude, it was bad, bro. Like, I look at pictures of myself. I'm like, why did people tell
like
me it looked good?
Deep V.
Here's the shitty thing.
Up shirt.
Yes. And here's the shitty thing. People would tell me, like, oh, I like your hair. It looks nice, long like that.
Yeah.
You fucking liars.
Yeah, they total lied to you.
They did it because
I would never do that to you.
Everybody was on the joke, apparently.
You look stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would tell you that.
I also shave my head.
No problem saying that.
I also used to shave my head all the time.
You've got a great
look. I did too.
You've got a great looking head of hair right now. There would be no reason for you to change anything you got going on.
That's thinning. You don't think it's thinning a little bit, right?
No, that's where mine is thinning, dick.
Huh?
That's where mine is thinning.
Well, yeah, we know that, but I'm saying mine. Mine's not doing that? A little bit.
No, it's
I
not.
Think the most. Who has the most hair, Justin?
Well, maybe, but I'm the most silver for sure.
Yeah, you are a silver.
I think you have a pretty decent head of hair.
He's catching up to me on the,
with the silvers?
Silver bells.
Well, you might have me beat. I have more silver or gray beard hairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as I don't get
that
gray
pubes. That just started for me. That's weird.
If I see a gray pube, fuck, man.
That's coming.
It's already happened for me.
No. I saw one.
Oh, okay.
I saw one, and that's it. Like, I had a conversation.
I saved him. I called him Gandalf.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you shave all of them except for the gray ones?
Yeah.
Just leave a few.
I have to leave the wizards to do their bidding.
My dick's got to
summon it. It won't get up otherwise.
You start a new trend right there.
Yeah.
Gray dick hair. Hashtag gray dick hair.
The wizard stick.
I like that idea.
Yeah, hey, I always wizard stick it out.
Hey, baby, would you like to see my my Gandalf the Gray?
I think
or the white.
I think gray is cool. Gray and silver.
Not gray pubes.
Well, you know, I would trade gray pubes for having my hair. You know,
because I can dye my pubes.
Exactly. Well,
would you take my gray pubes on your hair? That's the question.
The answer is most certainly
no transplant over here.
Adam, I don't remember you having your hair being
really curly.
Yeah, like, wow, that's pretty.
It's really like a sheen is over it. You know, it's like really sparkling.
It's like a silverish blonde.
It
looks
crawling
like
in there, though. It's a little concerning.
I tried running my fingers through and I scratched my hand with the steel wool hair you got up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd anyway,
I made it longer than my dad. My dad didn't even make it into his 30s, and he lost all the top.
You're shitting me.
Yeah, he had all the top gone.
No, you're doing good. You're doing, bro. You're not. You're fine.
Yeah, right.
Plus, you're tall. Who the fuck sees the top of your head?
That's the plan, right?
Whoa.
Stand up a lot.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
We don't see that shit. Yeah. Except when you're going down, bro. When you're going down on the ladies, they're gonna look down. Well,
turn the lights off. That's what I do.
But see, this is why Adam's probably really good at it because he gets them to close their eyes. He's going to be really good so they close their eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's like, they're not looking at me right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're in another planet right now.
Yeah, that's right.
All they see is stars and unicorns.
They get the possessed face.
Oh, my God. Eagle, please save us.
Yeah.
Please save us.
Here he comes. It's here.
Oh, shit. It's the motherfucking quaw.
And the eagle has landed.
Quee, quaw. Always fucks me up every time I say it.
All right.
One day I'll say it with a straight face.
Yeah. Starting with Barbell Brie, what specific modification do you make for clients with chronic disease or musculoskeletal issues that affect the way they
move?
Okay. Who's the asshole that picked this one?
Yeah, that's this a question. Long-winded.
Did you do that shit because you're like, I'm going to see Sal fucking try to answer this?
Well, no, because I actually think it's a very vague question, which I think creates a lot of good dialogue for us. That's why I picked it, Dick.
That's a good question.
It is.
It's a
good vague question.
The modifications have to be, obviously the modifications have to be completely related to the issue you're dealing with.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, I'll pick out some specific ones. I've trained people with chronic disease like fibromyalgia or multiple sclerosis,
MS,
these kind of autoimmune issues or these neurological type issues. And what's important to note with these issues is that too much intensity of exercise will cause a flare up and will cause more problems. And I want to use those examples specifically because I think sometimes trainers will get someone who says, "Oh, you know, I have MS, but right now I'm okay." And the trainer's thinking like, "Cool, I'm just going to get you really in shape and that'll make it better." But what they don't realize is that those high levels of stress can really send the body into a tailspin.
Yeah.
And so you have to be very, very careful with how you progress somebody with chronic disease. As far as muscular skeletal issues, God, those can range from just a basic muscle imbalance to big time problems in the body. I guess one of the best things I can say right now is to simplify the hell out of this and say this. When it comes to muscular issues or skeletal issues, your goal is the same when you have somebody who doesn't have issues. Your goal is to get your client to be able to do a proper barbell squat, a proper barbell deadlift, a proper overhead press. Now, you may never reach that point. Okay. So you may train this person for years and never get there because they may have some kind of, they may have a really, really bad issue, whether it be, skeletal issue or, past injury or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is always to use those as your litmus test so that when you do them, you're just trying to improve upon them. And I'll use those as movements that help dictate what exercises I should pick and what movements I should focus on. And, if you can't raise your arms above your head because you're getting poor scapular retraction, all that stuff.
Right. What's going to translate best to, everyday functionality? So like squats, great for sitting up and down out of chairs, like step ups, for instance. Right. So going up a flight of stairs, like we got to better prepare this person for really like the long term tasks and still like being able to fire properly and do these types of movements with strength. So you got to think in those terms of like, you want to be able to raise your arm over your head. You want to still be able to do that, for a long time. Like all these really important movements that, you want to have, like you just want to make sure you reinforce that and establish that in the workout.
It's funny. I don't know if it was on the forum that someone posted this or if I had a message, but someone told me that a physical therapist told their friend that the shoulders are not, this is the words that they use, the shoulders are not designed to press overhead.
I saw that.
They're not designed to press overhead.
Huh?
And they need to press at an angle and not go directly above the head because it's bad for the shoulders. And second part, which is equally as ridiculous, was that people shouldn't squat because the compressive forces on the spine are bad for
the
spine. So here's the thing with those two things, because this question just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Exercise is a stress on the body. And if we do identify what's happening when I'm squatting, I am putting compressive forces on my spine. But if I do it properly, this is what makes me stronger and gives me
you're
more function.
You're overcoming that.
My body learns to adapt and overcome. Because if I went the opposite direction and I said, okay, let's keep your joints brand new for as long as we can. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit in this recliner all day for the rest of your life, and we're gonna make your life super easy so that we never create any wear and tear on your spine or your joints or your tendons and ligaments. What do you think will happen to that person in a very short period of time?
Yeah.
They're gonna have joint dysfunction, degeneration, of their spine. They're gonna have
muscular
all kinds of health
imbalances
problems.
Like crazy.
Come on, man. Here's the thing: like your body's designed to move the way it fucking moves. So if you can move properly without you know, glaring muscle imbalances or any major muscle imbalances with good stability and form. Mm-hmm. I don't care how you move in that way, as long as you don't have those things present, you're okay. So yeah, if that means
you're super supported, there's no issue with
exactly.
That.
So if that means you do a back bend, and which would hurt me, but let's say you do it and you're stable, there's no muscle imbalances, everything's supported, everything's awesome, you've got the flexibility and the mobility to do it. Moving in that way is okay for your body. Your body will get stronger.
Well, this question also reminds me too of, I think off air we discussed this recently about, you know, how we've changed as trainers, how I would ask a question like this in the past, like, you know, hey, what modifications would you take with someone with MS, or what modifications would you do? You know, I'd want like this specific exercise or something to help these issues out, where and to implement into my already written program that I was going to take this person through. Where now the way I train, when I meet somebody and I see them for a session and I ask them, how are you feeling? What's going on? Like, our workout is going to address those things right then and there. So if they've got issues, instead of trying to modify something so I could take them through this full body routine I want to take them through, I'm going to address that. Mobility now becomes a priority.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you've got all these chronic diseases or skeletal issues or muscular dysfunctions or degenerate anything, like, all this stuff needs to be addressed, and this now becomes that's more of a priority than my workout plan that I want to take them through to build muscle or burn fat. I this person needs them, and along the way they're going to get those are going to be added benefits. If you're going to take people through proper mechanics and mobility exercises, they're going to get strength, they're going to burn calories, they're going to burn fat, they're going to get that. But my sessions would be totally different. It would be completely geared around mobilizing this person and addressing all the areas where joints are not moving through full range of motion, and that would become the focus.
That's a great point, because the assessment process for a trainer happens every single workout. So I know you do an assessment when you get a new client and you're trying to, you know, talk to them about personal training, but in reality, you never stop assessing, and you adjust your workout
based minute. Off of what you see. I mean, it's
I've changed workouts all the time.
Second by second. Yeah.
All the time when I'm training people. Of course, you need to consider chronic disease, because you want to know if I push the intensity too hard, it may flare up, you know, like I said before, because in that situation, I may train the person a little bit harder if I didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, that they had an issue. But you talk about mobility, Adam. You know, here's the thing. People get confused about mobility. Make no mistake.
Right.
If you improve your mobility, you will build more muscle and you will burn more body fat. Yeah. It isn't just getting mobile for the sake of getting mobile. Like, you can get away with having poor mobility and still be...
Well, we're talking about range of motion that, you know, you're able to fire in and have a tense muscle response. It's not like a range of motion that's loose and you know, hyper-flexible. That's not what we're talking about.
No,
that's just simple range of motion, passive range of motion.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know I do just graze over mobility. I think sometimes people think that means like stretching.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, people think that like mobility is this new buzz term for stretching, you know, but it's not. You know, it's a different concept, and that's why it was so intriguing to me, because it's everything about stretching, you know, the idea of it had changed once I finally really tapped into that concept of being, you know, supported and pressing on my boundaries as far as like, you know, what my body allowed for range of motion, but was strong in each one of those incremental articulations of that range of motion.
You know, it's funny. So when we launched MAPS Green or MAPS Performance, it's now been a little while. So we have people that have gone through the whole program. I don't know.
It's my favorite to read people's experience.
And what do they all say?
Yeah.
You know, like,
they all
got way stronger.
Yeah.
They
all didn't like it at first, and they all were not.
A lot of resistance on that one.
Yeah.
I get it too.
But how many people afterwards are like, oh my God, I went to deadlift again and I added 50 pounds, or I built more muscle. Like, this is weird.
Squats much deeper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stronger on everything, because
it takes getting like, a big majority of our listenership, it takes a big commitment on their part to like step out of their comfort zone. I mean, like, it's different. It's very different in contrast to, like, you know, Black and Red even. But, you know, like, there's definite benefit to it. And I know this firsthand.
And I think in all of our opinions, it's probably the most important. You know what I'm saying? It's probably the most important out of all the MAPS programs.
That would be the one that the average lifter would get the most benefit out of. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If I took the average gym rat and I had to give them a MAPS as a trainer, if I was their personal trainer and say, okay, I know what you like, but here's what's going to give you the most benefit. That would 100% mass performance because it's stuff people don't do. So.
Yeah.
Syracuse Cameron, what do you recommend dietary and cardio wise to lose 50 pounds?
Very, very determinant on the individual. Again, yeah.
This person had just started Maps Red, I believe.
Okay. They just
purchased Maps Red.
Is that their specific goal?
That's their specific goal. They're trying to lose 50 pounds and wondering like what our recommendation.
Do we know their current weight or anything? None of the back history on that.
Well, I'll say this. Step one, focus on getting stronger and healthier.
Yeah.
Focus on those two things first. Here's why you want to focus on getting stronger. If you're getting stronger, the chances are, the high odds are that your metabolism is also improving and increasing. And in fact, one of the hallmarks of MAPS anabolic phase one in particular, where you're getting stronger, is a increase in appetite. And that's a symptom. It's a reflection of the fact that your metabolic rate is increasing. So step number one, don't worry about weight loss. Worry about how strong and how well you perform in the gym. Step two, look at your diet.
Eat more nutrients.
Thank you.
Yes.
Eat to be healthy. Look at foods that are healthy. Try to prepare all the foods and meals that you eat every day. So eliminate or severely limit anything that is pre-prepped.
They're asking too about intermittent fasting, things like that too, or you know, if it fits your macros type of, you know, dietary guidelines.
You know, fasting can be used a lot of different ways, but if this person, you know, if they're new to the game, I wouldn't recommend fasting.
We have a book about it, and we still wouldn't recommend that. We think of fasting like an advanced way of dieting.
It's more advanced. I wouldn't say totally advanced, but fasting's. Here's the thing. Someone who wants to lose 50 pounds, could you use fasting? Yes, once a week. I'd say once a week use it.
I just get worried because we had to talk about like as far as the mentality of like being obese and like you know what you're trying to do to fix this problem all of a sudden. If it's like this real hustle to fix a problem, you know, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm very hesitant to do because, you know, maybe it is something like intermittent fasting will produce you like real quick results, like initially is like as far as what it's going to do. But the way that you eat, like that hasn't really changed, just the way that you're scheduling it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Try to get excited about getting stronger. Like that's a big one. Like change your focus for a second. And instead of saying, oh my God, I lost 2 pounds on the scale or I lost 3 pounds on the scale. Really make your focus about improving your performance in the gym. And do that, I would say here, do that for one cycle through MAPS Red. One full, you know, three-phase cycle. Just focus on your performance. Now, this doesn't give you a green light to eat shitty. Be aware of what you're eating, but don't focus heavily on it. Just focus on improving your performance through one cycle. Second time around, go through MAPS Red again, MAPS Anabolic again, then start to look at your nutrition a little closer. But at least by that point, you'll have 9 weeks of proper programming behind you, and your strength and your metabolic rate are going to be greatly improved by that point.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was coaching you personally, when I've coached clients in this exact predicament, and the prescription I give them would be MAPS Red, just like what Sal was saying, I want to take get rid of, and I'd have you clean your house out as far as food and get rid of anything, all your potato chips and cookies and all the bullshit that shouldn't be in there. And we're going to try and make healthy choices. I want you to eat every time you're hungry. I don't want you to go hungry. I just want to teach you a better balance, like the nutrition guide. That's why the guide is that way. Like, you know, you want to talk about guidelines. That's the type of guidelines you want to follow. It's not a diet. It doesn't tell you eat exactly this or eat exactly that. It teaches you about the different types of foods and where you should be getting a majority of your foods. And I would have that approach with you. But I want you to eat all the time. When you're hungry, I want you to eat right now. I just want you to learn to make those better choices than what you were before, and then really focusing on the training program like Sal's in. I don't want any cardio right now. And the reason why I don't want any cardio right now is because I want you to figure out what homeostasis is when you're eating properly, training properly, without adding any extra strenuous activity. And then I would just slowly increase.
Yeah, the worst thing you could do is just go, you know, balls out from the gates with everything.
Yes.
You know, scale it. Give yourself some
don't
steps.
Go balls out. You'll end up on that list.
Well, and 50 pounds, that's a year plus goal. Whether you want, I mean, you should take a year to do that.
Yeah.
That's not a goal that should take you 2 months. You know, that's not healthy. It wouldn't be ideal, and it's probably not sustainable just because somebody else did that. Or you've heard of people doing that. It would not. I would never let you. I would never train you that way. I wouldn't. If you were my client, I would never allow
just,
you.
I mean, just imagine if people went into weight loss with, rather than saying I want to lose weight, they're saying, God, I really want to get fit and healthy.
Yeah,
you know, no, it's funny. The irony is,
I haven't heard that statement in like so long.
The irony is, if people went into a program saying, not saying anything about their weight, just saying, gosh, I really want to get fit and healthy. The irony is they would lose more weight and keep it off.
Yep.
They would literally, if I went into a program saying,
that's a lifestyle change.
Yeah. If someone goes, I want to lose 50 pounds, far less likely to succeed than someone who says,
it's not a fix.
And their goal is, I want to get fit and healthy.
Yeah.
Sal Mergolo is asking how to deal with anxiety.
That's a good one.
I know. Don't Justin, smoke weed.
I know.
Yeah, I was saying
it ruins you.
It's funny because cannabis can do one or the other.
Yeah,
it can either chill you out, or it's done it to me, man. Where I just my anxiety,
FBI
whatever
eyes after you.
Oh, or whatever I'm thinking about that's stressing me out. I'm like, I'm gonna have a little bit of this. Will calm me down. Now I'm really fucking focused on my problem, and that's all I'm thinking about. For ever happened to you, Adam?
Not really. It settles me down pretty well.
I'm chill, bro.
Yeah. No, well, no. I mean, I get anxious, and that's probably part of how I medicate with it, is because it's what settles me down at the end of the day. I'm always anxious. I'm always thinking about what we need to be doing business wise. We were sharing that on the last podcast, how I can be that way, and nothing settles me down more than that. I mean, that's the only thing that does kind of shut that down.
Have you ever been paranoid, Justin?
Oh yeah. That's why I don't like it. Like you I've guys do. Yeah,
no. Well, so how does someone like you who doesn't? Yeah. That's not your choice. How do you deal with anxiety? I mean,
For me, it
jerks off
definitely. Like, but outside, you know, I don't jerk off inside. No, I walk.
In the woods.
Yeah, I walk outside, like in the woods. Like that's my sanctuary. You know, I got to go to the place where I'm just like I could be mindless and just like breathe clean air. You know, so for me, that really helps. That's why I live there. You know, I purposely put myself around like trees and all kinds of stuff that like it calms me down, you know, internally, because I walk around just like, yeah, all the time. I just need to break away from that mentality. So that's like my sanctuary.
I'll be honest, all joking aside, the most effective thing personally I've ever done for anxiety is have a really good workout.
That too.
Yeah. Nothing makes me feel,
if you can get into it, right?
You know what? I have learned now. I'm extremely, look, you guys have known me long enough. I'm extremely consistent. I don't miss workouts.
Yeah.
And one thing
I never miss one.
And when I'm anxious and I have lots of anxiety or stress, I know the workout's going to suck, but I force myself to go through it. And I always feel better at the end.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll go in and just go, you know, easy and light, full range of motion. Okay, here's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go into it and I'm just like, I tell myself, like, I need to be angry. So I'm going to have a very angry workout. And at the end of it, I feel very zen. Yeah. You know, I'm just probably because I'm wasted, right?
I can agree.
That does help, dude. I remember just the punching bag was really therapeutic for me. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's crazy, though, like expending all that. Like animosity that was coming from nowhere, you know. It's like it's just good to direct that into an inanimate object. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think I'm the only time I have a hard time to get into it, like I said. But once I do, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Anytime once I break that, you know, that feeling, get into the workout, break that sweat, then afterwards, you're right. It's,
dude, when I had
always feel better.
I had someone very very close to me who fought cancer. Years ago, and it was a long battle, and unfortunately she didn't make it, but during that period of time she was very close to me, so I was always there helping, and was a family member, and especially during that time I did not miss workouts, and I remember the workouts sucked. I didn't make any gains or whatever, because it was a tremendously stressful period, but I remember making it a priority where I would break away for an hour and work out, because I know what happens to me when I don't exercise, and my ability to cope with stress is greatly reduced. And so I made it a point, like, I'm going to move and exercise because I'm dealing with this stressful situation. Mm-hmm. I've been injured, or I've had surgery on my shoulder, or sick where I can't work out, and I notice, like, big time, there's a big difference in how I can cope with stress and anxiety. Exercise is like, they've done studies, man. They've done lots of studies where exercise activity is as good as anti-anxiety, strong anti-anxiety medications and certain antidepressants, and in the long term may even be better. They, you know, some studies will show that. So work out. Of course, Mind Pump's going to tell you to work out.
Work out. Spence Mister, how would you train for a CrossFit competition using proper programming?
Oh, I got this one. Huh? Wear a belt first, okay? Wear knee sleeves.
Oh, God.
Wear elbow sleeves. Wear gloves.
Rock
wear
tape.
Wear a neck brace.
Rock tape your butt cheeks.
Rock tape everything. The end.
Yeah, if I were training an athlete for CrossFit, first thing I would do is I would
try and talk them out of it.
I would farm them out to an Olympic lifting coach because I would want them to learn
to master
Olympic lifting because technique is everything.
Probably
when it comes
take you about 5 years.
Yeah,
good luck with that.
Because that would be everything right there.
Yeah.
Then I would phase their workouts. So rather than doing everything all at the same time like CrossFit likes to do, I would save that for the end of the training cycle before their event.
Yes.
So let's say I'm training someone for 12 weeks. I would do, 3-week phases of strength, stability, hypertrophy, mobility, whatever.
Whoa, you know what this sounds like?
It sounds like MAPS Performance.
It sounds like MAPS Performance.
And I was just going to say, we actually program MAPS Performance in that way. Not for CrossFit, but
we were addressing like, how would we program something that's like CrossFit? Because people love CrossFit, and I get it. You know, like, it's fun. There's a lot of hard-ass, exercises they throw in there at you, and it's like balls to the wall, and it's crazy. And, I like doing Olympic lifts, but I just like doing Olympic lifts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, this is the way that we all collectively were like, dude, this is, like, how I would do it. If say I had a CrossFit athlete, I'd take them through that same process. And like Sal was mentioning, save that endurance part, towards the end. So that way
you're ready
for your event.
Exactly.
You don't waste it right out of the gates.
You want to train up to and peak at your event.
Exactly.
And you don't
up
do
to
that.
Peak.
Right. And you don't do that by doing everything all like CrossFit does, everything all the time.
Yeah.
That's how their workouts are.
It just
muddies
everything up. You want to get awesome at each one of these attributes.
No, build your strength, build your base, work on a little bit of hypertrophy, correct imbalances, mobility, and then the last 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks before your event is when
you start to work something weird.
Exactly. Well, I was waiting for you guys to finish so I could interrupt and say, listen, dude, here's the shitty part about CrossFit and why
you don't even know what they're gonna throw at you.
That's why it would never work. The best way to train someone for CrossFit is to do CrossFit. Is to do more of the stupid programming because that's how the games is done.
You're right.
Like, there is no.
If it was predictable, then you could actually program.
Well,
for
the reason
it.
Why
exactly. Because it's non-predictable. So for safety reasons, you're both right.
You're absolutely right.
It's not
Adam.
Just safety. Like, I'm thinking of it from a fitness perspective, right?
I am too. That wouldn't be ideal.
Yeah, well, because
you would train your guy on Olympic lifts because it would be the highest priority since it's the most technical, and you'd spend all this time, and then you find out he ends up throwing softball and climbing a rope 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So he would lose by my guy who I'm doing all the stupid CrossFit exercises every day.
You should do the movements, but the conditioning should be done properly. You can't condition someone well by doing wads
if you're training for CrossFit, the best, I mean, I don't know which one of you said it or we heard it somewhere else. The first time I heard someone say that, when you're good at CrossFit, you're good at CrossFit.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, there's not carryovers to other things. Like you're training in a form, in a modality that is so erratic and all over the place with no program design, no rhyme or reason why they're ordering these exercises, that if you take a bunch of guys like us who want a program design and put some intelligence behind it, it would actually be counterproductive.
Well, no. Here's the thing. I have seen. I can't remember where I read it, but I've read articles of
do burpees backwards.
I've read articles of some top CrossFit athletes' workouts, and they don't look like the wads. Program them.
I've watched Rich Froning's whole thing on his. He does 4 wads a day. That's how he trains for CrossFit. And the reason why he does 4 a day, so he's prepared for any crazy fucking thing they throw at him. 4 wads a day, bro. That's what he trains.
He blows 4 wads a day.
All the top 5 guys, that's how they train. So I don't know what article you read, But the way these guys train,
sounds awesome.
But I'm talking to our audience right now. Like, if I had Rich Froning come in, fuck, you could throw anything
at him.
That's
what I mean. That's why he's the best.
That's the point of me sharing this, too, is that there is no great way to train for CrossFit except for CrossFit. If some good CrossFit athletes said, they hired me and said, could you get me ready for the CrossFit Games? I said, go down to your local fucking CrossFit box.
Yeah, because the question does say it's competition.
Yes.
If you wanted to get
if you want to get
super fit and conditioned?
Yeah, I would train you way better. I'll train you way better. You know, or you want to learn Olympic lifts? I'll train you way better. You want to learn something specific that you do in CrossFit? I'll train you way better.
I see.
But if you want to go to the CrossFit Games and you want to be good at CrossFit, how would we program design? Well, that's just it. That is not programmed. That's not CrossFit, you know. So I would send you to your local CrossFit gym. Okay. Sorry.
Chai City Fitness. What kind of boundaries do you create with your clients as far as your personal information is concerned? And what about clients sharing too much information to you?
Oh, shit.
Well, Justin sleeps with both of his. I know that's how he gets him to research.
All of them.
At the same time. Just the guys.
I have a party at the end.
Actually, this is kind of a unique question because I know for sure these guys have, because I have tons. You become kind of a therapist as a trainer.
Come on, bro. How long have you trained a lot of your clients for? Years. I've got clients. Most of my clients have been with for a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we didn't sign any like HIPAA agreement or anything, but like, I don't tell anybody anything, dude. Yeah. We're on that level.
Yeah, it is. You have that kind of client.
Yeah, I'm not going to share information that's like private and valuable to them, or like going to expose them in any sort of way. It's like,
yeah, I mean, look here.
Cool like that.
If you're meeting with a person, your client, let's say your training client, twice a week. You're seeing this person for 1 hour. It's you and that client. 1 hour, 2 days a week. You and them, total one-on-one time. And you do that twice a week for 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think there's going to be too many boundaries? That's aside from the like, you know, like, well, I can't, you know, I'm not going to sleep with you or that kind of shit, of course. But in terms of conversation stuff, you end up knowing everything about each other.
It's crazy.
You know about their family life, their marriage life. Well, you know about what they did when they were kids and what they, because they, you become, you're close to them. Like, I don't spend that much time with anybody.
Well, I know, don't you think that a lot of people that end up hiring you, there's a piece of them that is searching for that too also, right? Because at least a majority of the clients that I've had, they have more communication with me normally than their spouse, because that's part of what they're.
Well, it's helped them to talk it out.
Yes,
you know? Yeah.
And you end up being kind of that therapist. So I don't think. I think the only time I've ever had to place boundaries, right, is. And by the way, obviously Sal said, you know, the sleeping with it, you sense that as a trainer, they sign up.
Yeah, that's
up.
You
know that right away. If someone's trying
to do that.
You
can shut that down pretty well.
Exactly. You shut that down before they even sign the contract. So if you've allowed them to creep into that part of your lifestyle, that's your fault. You allowed that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the sharing, and there's a part of you that you want them to be able to do that. You want them to be comfortable enough to tell you their insecurities, and because you're not just fixing something physical with them. As a trainer, there's a lot of the root causes is mental, and I want my clients to be very open and honest with me about everything, about things they feel in their body too. I want you to be able to talk to me about your body, what you feel and what you notice, and your insecurities and your frustrations. Like, all this helps me coach you better. And the more I know, the more you share with me, the better trainer I can be, and the easier it's going to be for us to get you wherever you want to be. So as far as boundaries, I think the only boundaries I've ever set is probably home boundaries. Like once we're done training, and like it's not okay to text me at 11 o'clock at night and keep asking me questions. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Which the best way to do that is you don't respond.
You just ignore it.
Yeah, you just don't.
I was going to say, like, that's happened, but it's like, pfft.
Yeah, you just don't respond. Nah, I'll talk to this person.
You guys can't get a hold of me here.
You guys ever have clients like tell you about like just crazy shit, like their sex life?
Oh, and, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I've been told that I'm an easy person to talk to. It's probably because I usually don't judge people. People tell me stuff. As long as I don't hurt anybody, I'm like, whatever, do what you want. And so people feel super comfortable telling me the craziest shit. The craziest shit. I trained a lady once that was a swinger, and she would have sex parties. And she would tell me, you know, not always. It wasn't like the number one topic, but she'd talk about these sex parties. And I had trained her for so long that it got to the point where I was, you know, I'm curious about this. I'm like, how does this fucking work? And so she would just explain it to me, and it was crazy. It's I mean, is it TMI? I don't know. I mean, I let it happen.
No, it's one of my favorite parts about being a trainer. You get to
the sex parties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
right?
Dude.
You get to meet so many unique
sex party.
So many unique. I also think, don't you think that has a lot to do with kind of our views and how free spirited we are, open minded we are? Yeah. Because when you've trained thousands of minds and brilliant minds too, we've had tons of very intelligent clients, and you've seen everything, what they're into, what they're not into, the crazy this, crazy that. Like, it starts to open your mind more. I think a lot of people, we live in our little bubbles and our shells of our little circle of friends and family in our town. And, you know, when you get where you get exposed to thousands of different personalities, it really starts to open your mind. And I like that. I like that it's broadened my horizon. It's opened my mind to trying things out that I wouldn't have tried before. So I would never want to close those bound. I like that. I enjoy that part of my job.
Dude, I've been shocked by the amount of people that once they feel comfortable with me will casually talk about, and these are professionals. I'm not going to go into any detail because I would never talk about what people tell me, but these are, you know, very respectful people who will tell me about like the drugs that they did over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I went to Vegas. I did some blow. And I'm like, what?
No.
You know, this is like 57-year-old CEO or whatever. You know what I mean? He's talking about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're real comfortable telling me that kind of shit.
Yeah. That's awesome, though. I like that.
And that's awesome.
But it's awesome because, just like you said, it shocked you, and probably would shock any other person that knows that person. Mm-hmm. But it makes you open your eyes that, man, everybody's human, man. Everybody has their vices,
of course
their
they
things.
Do. Of course they are.
And you learn about that, and you start to your opinions and views, and it starts to change.
Same drama, too. It's hilarious. I get a lot of the drama for, like, very, very, very high-profile people, you know, and very visible roles, you know, even with the news and press and all this stuff. And then I get all the super personal dirt on them. I was like, whoa,
those are the craziest.
They're just
ones.
Humans.
Those are normally the craziest ones.
You know,
too.
I love
one
it though.
The other, right?
Because I, you know, she just knows I would never ever peep, you know, a word of any of that to anybody, because that's what we establish.
Well,
you know?
you got to consider, you know, people come to us in a very vulnerable state, so immediately they have to give you a level. There's a certain level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they're telling you what their fitness goals are. They're looking to you for guidance. They're sweating and looking shitty in front of you. They're, you know, they're moving. They're trying to exercise and they're doing bad, or, you know, they're trying to, and then they're getting stronger, and then they're feeling better. It's a very intimate connection, client and trainer.
Well, it also
is very close and intimate.
It makes it a very easy picking, which is why I used to get pissed at my trainers.
Oh yeah,
that would sleep with their clients.
Oh, come on, man!
Because it,
don't do that.
It's like,
if I knew about that when I was like in high school.
It's like a softball pitch for a trainer, especially if he's a fit, good looking, and intelligent trainer for sure. And that's, to me, like, that'll kill your business, you know, or you'll only go so far. Like,
it'll follow you everywhere you go.
Yeah,
if you have a client you really want to sleep with,
you marry him.
Then wait till their sessions are done, and then don't train them anymore. Like, don't do both. That's a bad, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad. Give them to your friend or marry him, like Justin said.
Yeah. There it is.
Hey, if you
love
like,
you, honey.
If you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. You may win a free t-shirt, and go to mindpumpmedia.com. We've got some pretty crazy testimonials on there talking about how effective our MAPS programs are, including the Super Bundle, which is 9 months of professional exercise programming.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.